The intensity of Holy Week and the Triduum and Easter Day, of our observance and celebration of that time, has passed. Things are a bit quieter and less active, but no less important, for we have begun the season of Easter. We have entered into those great 50 days of Eastertide. A season which is so essential, so central, so important for our life. So important, in fact, that Easter is not just one day, but it is 50 days. For the next weeks, for a total of 7 weeks, we will keep this festival season. And I think that's a good thing, because unless you're different from me, I think resurrection, what it means that Jesus was raised from the dead, is not something that's easy to grasp and understand. What does it mean for us that Jesus was raised on the third day? What does it mean that through baptism we share in his victory over sin and death? And that question, how do we live this resurrection life? How do we live now in this life? Because Jesus has been raised from the dead. I never find it surprising that in the resurrection appearances which are included in the Gospels, often folks have difficulty understanding what has happened. In fact, they regularly don't even recognize Jesus when he appears in their midst. Or they might have doubts about what they have been told, reports that we have seen Jesus alive, and some of the apostles have trouble believing this. And that takes us right to our gospel this morning. Always on the second Sunday of Easter, we hear about Thomas. And we hear this story, the story that has given him the name Doubting Thomas. Now, you may be tired of me saying it, I say it every year, but I don't know that that's fair to Thomas. I think Thomas asks a really important question. I think it's totally understandable that Thomas would have trouble believing what he has been told because he does not see what the others see. And I think we need to be very careful about doubt because I don't see doubt as being at odds at all with faith. I think instead often doubt that leads to questions can really help us to deepen our faith. This week I came across what I think is a great quote by Frederick Buechner, whom some of you know, and he says this about doubt. Doubts are the ants in the pants of faith. They keep it awake and moving. Doubts, those questions we ask when we don't understand, are not the opposite of faith, but they are the things that propel faith, that move us into deeper faith, that keep us awake, alive, a moving. Did I really just say a moving? It's been a long weekend. But to say that Thomas and today's gospel are only about doubt, I think, is too simplistic. For Thomas is not so much doubting as asking for what the others have experienced. Thomas wants to see the risen Jesus, the one who appeared in the midst of that upper room, that appearance that he did not see. He wants to see the wounds of Jesus. He wants to speak with Jesus. I think that Thomas simply wants the same invitation to see, to touch, to experience the risen Jesus that the others have had. He wants those signs of resurrection that the others were offered. And so rather than doubting, I think Thomas more is failing to believe the words of his community, failing to believe what those who were in that room when Jesus appeared saw and told him. This is a message for us, for we are not there in that room when Jesus appears. And so Jesus, through Thomas's words, which, by the way, Thomas often helps Jesus in this way, Thomas will ask a question in John's gospel, which allows Jesus to say something very important. And the same is true here. Thomas questions what the others have seen and told, and that allows Jesus to say, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Those are words addressed to us who lived so many centuries after Jesus appeared in that upper room. It is our call to believe without having seen what they saw. And at a deeper level, I think this whole gospel account is really about the transformation of the disciples, a transformation that will allow them to answer Jesus' call to be agents of proclamation, to be witnesses to the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Through their words, through their actions, others will come to believe. And that continues through the generations right until this moment where we sit here this morning. But something important has to happen first. Before this can happen, the disciples have got to be freed from their fear. They've got to be freed from that locked room. They are there because they're afraid the authorities are coming for them next. They're afraid they will be killed like Jesus was killed. And into that locked room of their fear, Jesus appears. And Jesus appears speaking words of peace. Jesus shows his wounds. This is indeed the same Jesus who was killed on the cross. Jesus breathes on them. Jesus has breath in him. Jesus lives. And Jesus breathes on them and gives them the Holy Spirit, that abiding presence of God, and full of the Spirit, sends them out to be witnesses to the world. And their mission is to go and speak words of forgiveness. Now, it's interesting, Jesus bestows his Spirit through his breath in John's account, the breath of the crucified and risen one. And in Greek, the word that is used for breathe is emphyseo, and it's found also in Greek translations of the Hebrew scriptures. In Genesis chapter 2, we hear about God breathing life into the human created from the dust of the earth. And Ezekiel, we hear that the breath of God enters the dry bones and they live. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, which is breathed into them, the disciples know new life. They're able to leave that old life behind, to leave behind their fear, to leave that locked room and go out into the world as witnesses to Jesus. For I think that it is doubt that is the opposite. Sorry. I think that it's not doubt, not, that is the opposite of faith. It is fear that is the opposite of faith. The questions raised in doubt can deepen faith, while fear can prevent us from living by faith. Fear can prevent us from risking everything to follow Jesus. Fear causes inertia. Fear can be immobilizing. We see this in evidence in our lesson from Acts today. For the disciples have left behind that locked room of their fear, and they are out in the city of Jerusalem preaching the death and resurrection of Jesus. They are being his witnesses. Now, what we don't have is the beginning of this account, where earlier in this story, they have been arrested and thrown in prison. And the authorities have said to them, "Stop preaching Jesus crucified." Mysteriously, miraculously, the prison doors open and they are freed. And so they return to the temple and they go right back to preaching Jesus. They do not listen to the authorities. Those who were in that locked room have left behind their fear. They are a people transformed by the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. And through their words, through their deeds, many come to believe in Jesus. And in fact, the gospel is taken to the ends of the world, and the world is transformed. The resurrection of Jesus puts to death once and for all fear and despair. The disciples no longer have to fear the powers of this world. They can obey God. For whatever happens in this world, they know they are safe in God forever. And so the apostles can live trusting that nothing can ever separate them from the love of God. They are set free to love as Jesus loved, to love without counting the cost. They are set free to speak as Jesus spoke, to act as Jesus acted, to in fact do the very deeds of Jesus. And the heart of that mission is a call to forgiveness and reconciliation. Jesus sends his disciples out to forgive sins. Now, I'm well aware that the Church has in various times and ways used this passage to justify whether someone will be forgiven or not, to withhold forgiveness in some cases. I don't think that's what Jesus is talking about. It's not a call for the institution to use forgiveness and to use it in an exclusionary way. I think it's something radically different, which is Jesus is intending his followers to live as he lives, to be agents of the reconciliation of God, that generous, that abundant, that never-ending forgiveness and mercy and compassion of God. In our collect this morning, we prayed that God in the Paschal Mystery established the new covenant of reconciliation. That is our call by the risen Jesus to live as God lives, to forgive as God forgives. God has forgiven us through the death and the resurrection of Jesus, and so we should go and forgive others. Just as God shows us abundant mercy and compassion, we should do the same. In the risen Jesus, we are baptized into a new life, a new creation, a new way of being, and that is rooted in a new covenant of reconciliation. And so the Spirit also sends us out, for we are called to speak as Jesus speaks. We're called to speak words of challenge to the injustices of this world, to the powers of this world. We're to speak words of God's peace to those who are fearful, those who are despairing. And we are to speak words of mercy and forgiveness to those who are alienated and marginalized and forgotten. Our call is nothing short of being a people full of the Holy Spirit, of the abiding presence of the risen Jesus, to be sent forth to be Christ's people in the world. And we are the people who are called to believe without having seen. We're called to speak words of witness of the risen Jesus, in order that others may come to know this good news, may come to believe, may know the promise of new life in the risen Christ. I don't need to remind you that we live in an age of great polarization, where mercy and forgiveness, compassion and reconciliation seem in short supply. It's an age where people with differing views find it difficult to speak, and in fact sometimes even to be together in the same room. The language of hate is strong all around. There's fear all around us. So many of us fear those who are different from us, fear refugees, fear Muslims. Hate crimes are increasing, including acts against the Jewish community, as we saw yesterday in the shooting in San Diego as a congregation gathers to keep the last day of Passover. Into all these divisions, into all this hatred and fear, Jesus appears, offering peace, calling us to reconciliation through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus sets us free to be his witnesses and calls us to speak words of hope and comfort, words of reconciliation and forgiveness. And so, through this Eastertide, may we allow God to fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit, that we go into the world as Christ's witnesses, that we witness to the death and resurrection of Jesus, and through our words, others come to believe, divisions are healed, and the face of the earth is transformed. For Jesus assures us, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Amen.